This is the Building Resilience Podcast, episode 173, Traveling with Children, Raising Resilient Travelers. Welcome to Building Resilience, a podcast where theory, practical strategies, and inspiring stories show you how to unlock your best life. I'm your host, Leah Davidson. As a certified life coach, speech-language pathologist, and nervous system resilience expert, it is my mission to teach you how to be more resilient to life's adversities. I will show you how to manage your mind, befriend your nervous system, process your emotions, and even eliminate stress. It's time to do more than just survive. It's time to thrive. Let's get started. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Building Resilience Podcast. In the past few weeks, I seem to be having some conversations with people about travel. Probably because I'm in the midst of booking different travel for my family for the next year, and other people have been planning travel or coming back from March break or Easter break. So maybe my reticular activating system is cued in to finding and hearing everything about travel. And then a lot of people are traveling and are interested in traveling. But the conversations I've been having have been about traveling with kids in particular. Now, I'm in the midst of planning a large trip for my husband and I. So it's not quite as big of a trip that I've planned in the past when I have gone traveling with my children. And I am also planning something for our entire family, which even though it's going to be on a smaller scale because there's so many more people now, there's a lot more involved in it. So a lot of times when people are talking about travel, especially if they have younger kids, they may say something like, oh, it's not such a big trip. I'm only going to Florida or Mexico, or I'm just road tripping somewhere. And I always say to them, well, first of all, every trip is an amazing trip and an opportunity to create the memories. Every trip with kids is a huge trip. But if you did want to really do some big international trips, that's possible with kids as well. We definitely did it. But don't discount any trip that you take with your kids. Even if it's like the closest getaway to a close by town, it is priceless. So the conversations really did get me thinking about how I love to share some of my best experiences and tips in raising resilient little travelers and big travelers too. I did an episode back in January 2022, I think it was episode 57, all about creating travel memories. So go back and have a listen to that one. But I wanted to share even more. So this is really going to be a fun episode for me. I love to talk about travel. I love to share about travel. I don't know if I've mentioned here before in the podcast. I think I have, that for several years I had a travel planning company, but travel has always been my passion. So if you ever want to start up a conversation with me, just mention travel and I can talk with you for years. But I love also sharing my experiences because we actually did have a lot of experiences. And while they may not be things that you're going to duplicate, I think that when you hear different people's experiences, it really inspires you and it sparks ideas for yourself. So whether you are traveling with the littles, whether you are just traveling as a couple, or maybe you're into the season where you're empty nesters and you want to be traveling more with your adult children or traveling with grandchildren, I think that there are tips for everybody. As I've mentioned, when I share things, not everything's going to resonate with you. But what happens is it can trigger bigger ideas that you can have. And I also want to focus on the idea of travel because I think it's an excellent amplifier for your nervous system. Now, what I mean by that is there's a lot of things that we can do to help regulate our nervous system, to help us release the stress cycle, to help us learn how to regulate. And then though, we want to be doing some things that sort of push us a little bit, that push and build our stress tolerance to help us expand our zone of resilience. We want to push up against the walls by doing things that are a little bit out of our comfort zones. And I think travel is one of those things. It's a great way for us to get out of our comfort zone, to learn, to grow, to connect with those that we travel with, but also to connect and learn about new things, new cultures, new traditions, to broaden our perspective in the world, to open our eyes, to see what is outside of our own little bubble. And I realize that the ability to travel comes from a position of privilege, and not everybody can do it, and not everybody wants to do it. And it can also require some sacrifices in some areas. Now, for me, this was something that I wanted my children to be exposed to from the beginning. It was one of my top priorities. I felt that it would really help them in growing their own personal resilience and to really expand their world. It was something that I was passionate about. And I believe that the benefits of travel are truly endless. So it was a top priority for me from the get-go. Travel has always been an important piece of my life. But honestly, I didn't step onto an airplane until I was 18 years old. And the funny story is I literally took a flight from Montreal, where I am from, to Toronto, which is where I live now, to visit a friend. And Montreal and Toronto, it's about a 5-hour driving distance, so it's less than an hour flight. That was my first experience. Then during university, I set off to do some backpacking in Europe one summer, and I was absolutely hooked. And since then, travel has been my priority pretty much over everything. I have never been really into material things, so all my savings went to travel. When I got divorced, I was determined to keep travel going, even though my two boys were really young. They were 4 and 2.5 when I got divorced. Well, I ended up taking them to Disney when Zach was 5 and Josh was 3.5. And I mean, we did Disney. We did all the parks all week long. Thinking back on it, I'm not sure how I did that solo with these two little guys, but I did, and it was amazing. And then we also went to Mexico. And then we traveled with family to Yellowstone National Park. And then we did a bunch of local trips when I was a single mom. So it is doable to do, even if you're single, and it is a little bit harder because you don't have as many hands. But I value and cherish those memories that I have from traveling when I was a single mom with my two little guys. Now, when I met my husband, Rob, I told him that I had big travel plans in life. Like, I wanted to take my kids to Australia and Asia and on an African safari into Europe. And I also wanted to do more chill local things, like rent a cottage up north and visit like cities that were in driving distance for us. I had so many ideas, and I was willing to do whatever we had to do to make sure that we did it. It actually posed a unique challenge because now there were 5 children that we had. So we literally, as soon as we were together, as soon as we got married, we created a bit of a travel plan. And since then, I have been very, very deliberate with my travel. For example, I knew that some of the more elaborate trips, I wanted my kids to be old enough to have some recollection. And some of them did have some requirements, like safaris. They needed to be a certain age. But for some trips, I also needed them to be young enough to take advantage of some kid pricing. So when we were married in 2008, our kids ranged from 3 to 10. And during the first few years, we actually had big discussions on where would we like to go as a family on these big magical trips that would only start in 5 years. Because the first few years, we were going to be focusing on saving as much as we could for these big magical future trips. We talked with the kids about these dream trips because we wanted to have their buy-in, because it did require some savings and sacrificing. Now, at the same time, as much as I'm a future planner, I don't believe in putting everything off until later. So we needed to sacrifice and save for later, and we needed to plan and save for the immediate future. Now, on a side note, there's this fantastic book called Die with Zero by Bill Perkins, and he talks about getting all that you can from money and your life and making sure that you're experiencing things now and not just saving and waiting for later, but investing as much as you can up front to help you create the experiences, the memories early on. And he talks about how it's like you're getting these memory dividends. And I love that because that's what I was always hoping for, that whatever I invested in my travel, in the experience with my kids, would become these memory dividends, which they most certainly have. You have more time to reflect the earlier you do things. So for me, early on, it was a balance. I really wanted to save and sacrifice for big trips. but still do some trips along the way. So we decided to cut corners in life in other places. And it's totally a personal preference. You have to decide what is the best interest for your family. But I think back now, like sometimes my kid, this sounds so privileged and entitled, but sometimes my kids would complain that our weekends were filled, like were kind of boring. They were routine. They weren't filled with going to movies and shows and amusement parks and out to eat. We did a lot of sleepovers in our family room to watch movies. We would skip dessert and drink if we did go out. We would pick and choose what movies we saw in the theater and share the popcorn. But it was all these little things that actually did add up to a lot that we would forego those things in favor of travel. And maybe my kids didn't exactly love it then, but I think they do appreciate the memories now. So the trips we initially did early on were all the kind of trips that I would recommend that you do when you have little kids. It just made it easy to kind of set up camp wherever we were, to have enough space, to have really good kid activities, good places for our kids to have naps or rest breaks, lots of access to kid-friendly food. And then as the kids got older, we started on our grand adventures. In the span of 8 years, we did 4 really big trips as soon as our kids sort of became the tween and the teenage. We did 8 years. Every second year, we did a different one. 1 year, we did Fiji, Australia, and New Zealand. Another year, we did a South African safari. Another year, we did Vietnam and Cambodia. And then lastly, we did Morocco. Now, we also did some individual trips to Europe with each kid, sort of one at a time, except for our family twins who are the same age when we went together. And those were also spread over sort of the span of 10 years. And we just actually finished our last one last year. So essentially, each child would choose a place in Europe that they wanted to go to based on their own interests. And it was a great way to spend individual time with each child as well. We tried to go when they were 16, but due to COVID, our younger boys were both 18 when we went. All that to say, I think there are seasons for travel. And there are different ways to travel. It does not have to be the same thing. And I think that's what I appreciate is we have a mixture of like these long, faraway trips and these short up to the cottage local trips. So make it easy on yourself. Memories are built everywhere. And some of our best memories are from renting a little cottage and doing some skiing locally. We even drove to New York City 1 year when we really didn't have much budget for that trip at the time. So what we ended up doing is we told the kids, okay, this is how much we have. And it became a budgeting activity. If we wanted to go to New York City, how could we do it with this much to spend? Well, we ended up staying outside the city in a so-so place. We brought cans of food, literally Kraft dinner, tuna, canned soup. We planned 2 meals out. They were pizza and burgers. And we walked everywhere. And I mean everywhere. We saw things from the outside. We didn't go in. We didn't go up on the views. And some people may say, well, what's the point of going? But for us, we weren't able to afford it, but we still wanted to be there. And I can tell you, it is such a memorable trip. Now, obviously, our kids then were at the age where they could walk. I think at the time, our youngest was 8. And it's kind of cool. We wanted to go there. We wanted to maximize as much travel as possible. And now one of our kids, my oldest stepson, lives in New York, and we have gone back as a family. And you know what? We still just walked around, and we still did things that were just sort of casual things. You don't have to do lots of busy and exciting and expensive things. Now, one of the reasons why we tried to cram in so much travel in a short period of time is because we became a blended family when some of our kids were a bit older, which meant that we had less time as a family to do all the travel. Now, they say that you have 18 years with your kids, but because my oldest stepson was already 10, our clock was ticking. And so we always wanted to maximize whatever time we did. So we kind of front loaded as much as possible, as many trips. And as it was, my oldest stepson had already moved out by the time we did Vietnam and Cambodia and Morocco. So we were missing him on those trips. So that's why even smaller trips became even more important for us, ones that we could just drive to, because the priority was for us to be together. I really feel strongly that travel is such an incredible way to bond together. especially if you are a blended family. It was really the only time that we didn't have to deal with like custody schedules and other parents. It became our own private escape. But even if you're not a blended family, travel really affords time away with your family without even friends being around. I know that even now we are planning something, not something huge, but planning something next year to have all our family together. Because even when our kids come back and they visit us, they are divided between their multiple families and all their friends. And so we end up just getting snippets of time. Travel is the opportunity for us to be together for a period of time and create those memories. Now, I know in the book, I think it's called Hold On to Your Kids with Gabor Mate and Gordon Neufeld, I believe is his name. They strongly recommended making sure that you have time just as family time and even doing trips just as family time. Now, I know as kids get older, there can be a temptation to travel with friends. And they suggest that you make sure that you do protect at least some time for just your family, because obviously dynamics change when friends or cousins are around. I mean, it's probably ideal if you're able to do both. I know that over the years, we did do a lot of time on our own, but we did try to mix it up with spending some time with friends and spending some time with family and cousins, because those memories are precious as well. Sometimes the kids do want to have other kids around. I was lucky that with 5 kids, they all got along together. So it was like built-in friends. But I do think that sometimes there's an opportunity to bring cousins and friends in. But those trips that we just had one-on-one with one kid, they were super special too. So a mix is best if you can try. All right. If we look at younger kids and travel, it's really, I think, a combination of providing routine, comfort, and security with a little bit of novelty. And really, that's pretty much the same for older kids, or even the same for me too. For example, when we would travel somewhere by plane, I would always make sure that the kids had something familiar, maybe like a favorite stuffy or a blanket, but maybe not their ultimate favorite thing in case it got lost, but something that they did love. And then I always packed them a bag filled with new stuff, nothing elaborate. It was always stuff from the dollar store. One year I bought them these little figurine Star Wars guys or these little army guys. And I usually put in some type of travel game or a new book or some new markers, all new stuff that they only got when they were on the plane. So it was something to look forward to. I sometimes got them journals for the bigger trips and like a glue stick so they could glue in souvenirs and tickets. And I always made sure they had some fun snacks and gum, depending on their age, for their ears. So the new was there to keep them excited. Now, last year, we did a big trip with most of my kids to celebrate my 50th birthday. And it was funny because one of my kids, I heard them comment to their spouse, "I wonder what my mom will pack in our travel packs for our trips." And it, of course, was really funny. And his wife was like, "Your mom's not going to pack us travel packs." Well, of course, I did. I went and I got them some special snacks. So travel bags was a big thing, and it became part of the memory of our trips. Now, of course, obviously, when they were younger, I was having a change of clothes for them, even a change of clothing for your top, at least. I always made sure I had a bag of medication, Tylenol, Advil, Pepto-Bismol, Gravol, Band-Aids, and I can't tell you the number of times I have given people children's Tylenol. Well, given it to their parents, of course, but it is so handy to make sure that you have that and you're prepared. I've also heard that people have carried around a bunch of those squishy earplugs and give them to people sitting around you if your child is fussy. I never did that. I'm not sure I would have, but I thought it was a funny idea. I also gave my kids, when they were younger, the eye covers. We went on some really long flights. And when the kids were little, I would put them to bed, so to speak. I would say, "All right, it's time to turn the TV off," and put the eye mask on and have a little sleep. And I also had little neck rests that they could use when the flight was really long. So just a reminder, travel does require some preparation and some deliberateness. Now, I know now that so many people have electronics and kids are using electronics at a much younger age. So make sure that you have the chargers. And I would say reserve from videos and download things that can be earmarked as specials. When my kids were really young, we didn't have devices, or they didn't have the devices on their own. But what we did is we had this portable DVD player and we reserved certain shows for travel. I know it's totally old school. I actually found a 5-way adapter that we could plug in and they could each plug in their own earphones so they could watch this tiny little DVD player in airports. Now, it was never usually a show that we watched regularly at home. We tried to reserve it for vacations. And we did some old school shows, some classics like The Brady Bunch. And then we did shows like Friday Night Lights or binging on Gilmore Girls. So maybe getting your kids excited about saving something for the trip if you can. So along the theme of new versus comfort, it was also always fun to have a few new things when we arrived. So maybe new floaties for the pool or new sand toys or even new swimsuits, always keeping it simple. You really don't have to be elaborate. There are hours of entertainment from like a small ball from the dollar store. On one of our trips, we got our younger kids like tiny little stuffies, and one of them ended up in so many of our photos. We even ended up taking pictures of the stuffy on its own in different places. Sean the Sheep, that was his name, and he came along afterwards on a few trips with us. So that's a way to keep the kids really engaged in it all. And of course, again, when the kids are younger or if they're more sensitive, then they may prefer comfort and security over the novel. So make sure that you have some comfort and security. You know your kids best. As my kids got older and more involved, I wanted them to feel like they were part of the creation and preparation and anticipation of the trip. So as long as they were about elementary school age, they would get an assignment to research before we went on the trip. And I think I shared this on a previous travel episode, but we would pick a city or a site or even a hotel that we were going to be staying at and assign the research to each kid. And then they would share what they found with the family. And obviously the point was to get them feeling involved and excited. I wasn't necessarily relying on this information for the planning. But I remember when our youngest was 7, we were heading to Australia and I can't remember what his actual task was. Somehow he started researching restaurants and he told us we had to go to this restaurant called Fish Divine. It was so specific and he was so excited to tell us about it. Also in preparation for the trips, I would ask my kids to tell me some of their favorite songs at the time and then we would create a playlist. And then we would play it when we were on the trip. If we are driving in our rental car or in our accommodations, it really is a great way to anchor in some of the memories. As part of the preparation as well, getting all the kids all packed up was a big deal because there were so many of them. As I got older, I would just give them a list to follow to pack. And then I would get them to pack all their things in drawstring bags. There were usually 2 drawstring bags per kid, one with their tops, one with the bottoms. Now, if I didn't have so many kids, I might have packed outfits into separate Ziploc bags. I've seen people do sort of those hanging shoe pouches and put outfits in there. Really just a way to separate things out for them made it so much easier, especially if you're moving around a lot. It made my life so much easier to know that here are all your clothes, everything's in there, you have 2 bags each, and it helped them to be more independent. As I got older, I wanted to encourage them to be even more independent. So I would often still make lists, but it was up to them whether they used the list because I wasn't going to be checking, or I would get them to use the list and then I'd offer to check and sometimes they would say no. Well, what happened on one trip to South Africa, which included some safaris and then we were heading to Cape Town where it was really warm and we were going to do some beaching. Everybody got a list, but I told the older ones that I could check if they wanted me to check and that they could just take care of themselves. And some of them said, can you just run through it with me? And I was like, great. And some of them decided they were fine. They didn't need any extra help. Well, while we were walking in the airport, leaving Toronto, I noticed one of my kids was wearing some Kodiak winter boots. Now, I asked him if he had also packed some runners and flops, which of course are on the list, to which he replied he had not because he did not need them. So he spent the whole time in those boots. Lesson learned? I don't know. Who knows? I don't think it actually bothered him that much, but it was a natural consequence. And it's a super funny story to talk about now. Now, when we were actually on our trips, there usually was a few things that I would try to do to keep the kids engaged while we were still on the trip. When they were young, I would actually create for them little credit cards and tell them how much they had on it. We usually gave them upfront a certain amount of money to spend, and then they could top it off with their own money if they had birthday or Christmas money. And as we would go to places and they would say things, they could check to see if they could afford it or if it was worth it. It was a way for them to learn a little bit about choices, but it was also good because it alleviated the constant asking for things and me having to say no. Instead, my answer was always, sure, if that's what you really want, how much money would that leave you with? Now, inevitably, some kids would spend it all at the first place. Others would be worrying about spending it all up front or at all. And it's funny to see now as adults that they have very similar spending habits. But it also had like a sense of pride for them to see the choices that they made. That is definitely something I would highly recommend. And I know that in the future when we have grandchildren, that is something that I will be doing with them as well. Another thing that worked really well for some of my kids was to encourage them to start collecting certain things when they traveled. Now, for one of my kids, it was and still is pins. It made it easy to find things when they were looking for souvenirs. I personally am always on the hunt for Christmas stuff. So when we traveled, I would always buy each of the kids an ornament for Christmas from us, from our trip. And I tried to make sure they didn't see me buy it. So it was a surprise for Christmas. I also love to collect nativities. And what was great was when my kids started to get a little bit older and doing some more independent travels, or they went on travels with friends or organizations, they started a tradition of buying me nativities when they traveled without me. So either they're with their other parent or they traveled on their own. They almost all did a service trip and they got one of these nativities from the location where they went to serve. So I love it. I have a huge collection of nativities from around the world, most of them from the kids when they did their travels. Now, another thing that we did to help keep our kids engaged is to help them select activities. Either we did an activity that was directly of their choosing, so getting them to choose so that they felt like they had some say, or I also like to try to plan some type of surprise activity that I knew they would enjoy. So we have visited many soccer stadiums, which was a big one for some of my boys, or have like a really unique experience. Like we all did that fish pedicure in Cambodia where we put our feet into a giant tank and had the little fish eat all the dead skin off. It's something that was so different. The kids were so skeptical at first, but they ended up loving it. We also booked a family spa day when we were in, I think it was when we were in Vietnam or Cambodia. I enjoyed it, but I think the little boys were a little less excited about that. But they had a really good time. They have some very funny stories about it. We also tried early on to have little dates with each kid while we were on the trip. So just some alone time that we could get with each child. It was a good way to check in to make sure that, you know, how they were feeling and what they were experiencing. And this was important to us because we had so many kids, because we were a blended family. We wanted to make sure that each child got some one-on-one time and we got some one-on-one time. So that mom and me or dad and me or stepmom and me and stepdad and me time can be really important. So that was a priority, especially in the early years. And then speaking of mom and me or dad and me or stepmom and stepdad, we always tried to make sure that we had a wide mix of photos. I often would make sure that we had individual photos with the kids. So it would be like me and one of the kids or Rob and one of the kids in the same spot if they were like the amazing spots for photos. So they would each have some individual photos and not just like all five kids all together, or even photos of them alone. Maybe it was a famous landmark. They wanted to have like the opera house behind them. So I would have five pictures of each kid with the opera house behind them. I've also hired a photographer on multiple trips to do some family photos. I will warn you though, my kids were never keen on this. They appreciated the photos afterwards, but there was a lot of complaining while we were doing it or having to dress up to do it. They were very annoyed, but it's something that I love to look back on. My kids were always into taking photos. Back in the day, they had their own little camera. Obviously, today with phones, it's much easier, but it is cool to go through the photos with them and see what are they taking the photos of, what is important to them. So we always encourage that. We had a couple of kids who are really interested in taking photos. We went online to read about how to take good pictures so they could try out different techniques. Now, food-wise, another successful thing that we did on travels was doing some food tours in different places. It's really allowed us all the chance to try some local cuisine to expand our palates. But at the same time, we also knew we had to be flexible and find food every few days that was more familiar to them. I remember being in Cambodia and finding this Italian restaurant, and we decided to go to it because we all wanted the pasta one night. And we had been eating a lot of rice. So we had pasta and pizza. And the next night, the kids wanted to go back to the Italian place again. So we did. Sometimes kids just need some of their comfort. Now, part of making sure that things go smoothly is not to overpack your days when you have kids around. Have some built-in rest time. We tried to create some type of routine wherever we were. So maybe it was a morning, do something, then we would have a break and then something in the evening or something like that. We always tried to build in some swim time at a pool or chill TV or electronics time or even nap time, usually for me. We all need a break and we want to make sure that we schedule in the breaks. Sometimes we did full day breaks where we would just hang out at the pool instead of touring around. So don't overpack your schedule and make sure to get some alone time for you too, if you can. If you're traveling with your partner or another parent or even other adults, tag team a little bit. Building in rest is just as important as planning your sightseeing. Now, lastly, one of the things that we would talk about with my kids is looking for thin moments and thin places. I've talked about this before, but thin places are really the places and the moments where heaven and earth meet. They're kind of sacred times or sacred places. Often you find them in nature or beauty, but it can just be when you're with people. We always talked about finding them, and when we stumbled upon them, we would label it, this is a thin place right now. And those particular moments and places are particularly seared in my heart. So I encourage you to do the same thing. Well, hopefully you found a little nugget here and there of a lot of my stories, something that can inspire you. I look forward to future travels. And one of the things to also mention is to go away on your own. No kids. Take that time for you, whether it be a couple trip if you're in a romantic relationship or just with friends. You need it and your kids need it. Your kids need to see that they are fine without you and that you value you and your relationship as well. And if you have nobody to watch the kids, then maybe trade with a friend for at least an overnighter. Make your relationship a priority. It's great that we want to do everything with our kids, and they are top priority, but we also want to be modeling healthy adult relationships to them, and that includes grown-up time. I want my kids to all end up in healthy relationships, which means it's good for them to see how I prioritize myself and how we prioritize our relationship. I know this is a controversial topic for some people. I see many couples or people who put themselves or their relationships to the side while raising kids. And then when empty nesting comes along, it's just that much harder. So I always recommend make it a priority all the way along through, and your kids will learn and appreciate from it. And I also think that down the road, as my family expands, we're going to try to do some girl trips or boy trips, some big family trips, some trips with each of our kids and their families. When grandkids come along, hopefully we'll take them on trips. I had a client who always took their grandchild on a trip when they turned 12. I thought, just what a brilliant idea. So get creative. Travel is truly a great way to nourish your relationships, expand your horizons, grow that zone of resilience, and create all your memory dividends. Hopefully you found something helpful today. Good luck with all your travels, and I'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to the Building Resilience Podcast. If you're interested in learning a little bit more about managing stress, building resilience, and leading a more purposeful life, then make sure we're connected on Instagram and Facebook at Leah Davidson Life Coaching. You can also subscribe to my weekly newsletter at www.leahdavidsonlifecoaching.com/newsletter. Looking forward to connecting.